नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवाय Going to read this morning text 41 from Canto 3, chapter 24. Maitreya uvacha evam samuditas tena kapilena prajapatihi dakshini kritya tam prito vanameva jagamaha evam samuditas tena kapilena prajapatihi dakshini kritya tam prito vanameva jagamaha. Maitreya uvacha. The great sage Maitreya said, evam, thus, samuditaha, addressed, tena, by him, kapilena, by Kapila, prajapatihi, the progenitor of human society. Dakshini kritya, having circumambulated. Tam, him, pritaha, being pacified. Vanam, to the forest. Eva, indeed. Jagama, he left. Ha, then. Translation. Sri Maitreya said, that thus, when Kardava Muni, the progenitor of human society, was spoken to in fullness by his son Kapila, he circumambulated him and, with a good, pacified mind, he at once left for the forest. Report by Srila Prabhupada. You ready? Going to the forest is compulsory for everyone. Brr. It is not a mental excursion upon which one person goes and another does not. Everyone has to go to the forest, at least anaprastha. Forest going means to take 100% shelter of the Supreme Lord as explained by Prahlad Maharaj in his talks with his father. Sada samudvigna diyam. Bhagavatam 7.5.5. People who have accepted a temporary material body are always full of anxieties. One should not, therefore, be very much affected by this material body, but should try to be freed. The preliminary process to become freed is to go to the forest or give up family relationships and exclusively engage in Krishna consciousness. That is the purpose of going to the forest. Otherwise, the forest is only a place of monkeys and wild animals. To go to the forest does not mean to become a monkey or a ferocious animal. It means to accept exclusively the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage oneself in full service. One does not actually have to go to the forest at the present moment. This is not at all advisable for a man who has spent his life all along in big cities. As explained by Prahlad Maharaj, Hitvatma Patam Griham Andakupam. One should not remain always engaged in the responsibilities of family life, because family life without Krishna consciousness is just like a blind well. Alone in a field, when one falls into a blind well and no one is there to save him, He may cry for years, and no one will see or hear where the crying is coming from. Death is sure. Similarly, those who are forgetful of their eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord are in the blind well of family life. Their position is very ominous. Prahlad Maharaj invests this well, somehow or other, and take to Krishna consciousness and thus be freed from material entanglement, which is full of anxieties. So this is the scene. This is Maitreya speaking and going back to earlier chapters, chapter 3 of Canto 3. The scene was Vidura had been on pilgrimage, and his pilgrimage started when he left Hastinapur feeling disgusted with Duryodhana and his diabolical behavior and insulting Krishna and insulting Vidura, and he felt, I've tried. I can't help this fellow. There's no need for me to remain. Let me go on pilgrimage and become purified from this unwholesome association. So he went on an extended pilgrimage. Something like 34 years pilgrimage, long pilgrimage. Visiting holy places, hearing from saintly people at those holy places. And eventually, he got to a place in Vrindavan where, much to his surprise, there was Uddhava in a forest in Vrindavan. Uddhava, how wonderful to see you here. And started inquiring about Krishna and the associates of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna, Balaram. And then Uddhava began some Krishna katha for 2 chapters. And then the night had passed. So I have to go now. Krishna gave me some service. But Krishna also said that very soon Vidura will come here. And please relay the message that Vidura should hear everything about transcendental life from Maitreya, because Maitreya had also heard this exchange that was going on between Krishna and Uddhava. So Maitreya went to find, and he found Maitreya, and then he presented a number of questions before Maitreya, and Maitreya's responding. So it's way up in the Himalayas, and Maitreya is now, having heard from Krishna, he's not just a great rishi and yogi, he is Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava. And in the exchange, Vidura will also become Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava, topmost position of devotion. So that's the scene. And Maitreya is narrating this many chapter long history of the exchange between Kapila and Kardama Muni, and then next is Kapila and Devahuti. So what we just heard yesterday was the conclusion of a series of verses where Kapila has been asked by Kardama Muni, I've completed my household duties and I'd like to return as was promised to me by Devahuti's father, that when there's a son of age and you're that son, that I can return to my meditation in seclusion, my practice of devotion in that way. So Kapila gave a number of benedictions and his blessings, and with that, that's where we are this morning. Kardamuni, who's given this name, Prajapati. Praja means children or offspring, and Pati is the father, so he's the a Prajapati. One of his assignments from Lord Brahma was to produce quality children so that the universe that Brahma had just built could be populated with good offspring. And so he obliged his father's request, and some children were born, one of them being Kapila, and now he's ready to, having completed his duties given to him by Lord Brahma, he wants to go to the forest. So he is identified as a Prajapati, and later chapters will tell all kinds of interesting things about the daughters of Kapila and Devahuti. And now here's the son, the one son. And the emphasis given in the purport sounds scary, intimidating, or, whoa, how are we going to do that? Go to the forest. Everyone must go to the forest. Not optional, you must go to the forest. Vana prasta. Vana means forest. So that big sigh of relief for those of you that are householders. It's not necessarily, literally, that you must go to the forest. But what that means, at least in principle, he explains. A and B. Retiring from active duties in family life, detaching oneself from the comforts and the this and the that's, the things that bring material attachment, or that carry with them material attachment. It's a stage of life after family life. Detach oneself from family life by literally distancing oneself from the family, and go on pilgrimage to holy places, or engage in more direct husband and wife, more direct activities of Krishna consciousness. So, hearing, chanting, worshipping, praying, serving the society of devotees, just in this exclusive manner. At least moving in that direction progressively to help fulfill the purpose of the final stage of life, where there isn't husband-wife interaction. It's more complete detachment from husband-wife interaction and more the focus and quality of Godhead in a very dedicated way. This is a description of two of the stages of the ashram, the four ashrams, brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. So we heard earlier Prabhupada's explanation in the purport. Why did he have to go to the forest and meditate on Lord Vishnu when Lord Vishnu is right there in the form of his son? And it's just to show by example. So he's showing by example. And he's gotten the benediction from two verses ago that you will always see me within the core of your heart. I'll be there. Because of your pure devotion, I'll be there. So there's no separation. It's example setting time. And Prabhupada is emphasizing same in the purport. As Kapila did, as Kardamuni did, and others, great personalities have done like that, then we should also. It's a stage of life, and it's each of the stages of life, 1, 2, 3, 4, there's a focus or a goal. And that focus or goal is exclusive shelter in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there's stages of life where it's meant to be, the seed is meant to be cultivated further and further and further. The mature stage is being approached by this Vanaprastha stage. Worldly duties having been fulfilled, now what? What's our life like? Mother and father may feel lonely. They've grown up and now they're off and living their own lives. And let's go visit them and see the grandchildren and, etc. With the sense of attachment. The same sense of attachment as during their grihastha life, to continue that later on in life. For spiritual progress, it's not advised. I mean, it's not like you have to be hard-hearted and cold, but the focus needs to shift. Having completed worldly duties, now what's next? And bluntly and frankly, the Vanaprastha ashram is super undeveloped in our Hare Krishna movement. And I know some really wonderful devotees who fulfilled their householder duties, and they wanted to move on to Vanaprastha life, and they weren't really sure how to do that. And they started doing as best as they could because they're very accustomed to reading Prabhupada's books. And I recommended, why don't you write something, write an essay or write a book or research carefully and leave behind you for others who ask the same question you asked. How do you do this? What does it look like in our modern context? And this verse is important for giving at least principle. One does not actually have to go to the forest. At the present moment, this is not at all advisable for a man who has spent his life all along in big cities. Then immediately, the very next sentence is making reference to a canto that hasn't happened yet, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 5, which is Prahlad speaking to his father. And there's two parts in that speaking to his father, Ranyakashipu, where Hitvad Vapatam Griham Andakupam. Anda Kupam. Kupa means well, and Andakupam is a blind well. I didn't exactly know what that was until I found out somebody that I know fell in a blind well. And they died. Instantly, because there was a big, empty hole in the ground that the grass had covered, so they couldn't tell the difference between where the ground was and where the blind well was, and they fell in the blind well and died. So there are such blind wells, not filled up afterwards or covered or whatever, just neglected. And one who falls in such a blind well, it's a very sorry situation. One may not immediately die falling, but if you're a blind well that's off in a field, nobody will know. You can call out. Nobody will hear you because you're off in some distant place. Like that, that's what Prahlada is saying. He's speaking to his father that persons like you, Dad, my dear demoniac father, you're so much attached to the bodily conception of life, you're never going to let go of the bodily conception of life. It's like you've fallen into a blind well. And in that circumstance, there's always anxieties because misidentification with the body leads to attachment to all kinds of things that are on the temporary platform, and the things that you don't have, you're hankering for, the things that you lose, you're lamenting, and the things that you have, your anxiety, it may be taken from you. Or you can just be in a deeper kind of ignorance and not even think at all. But the nature of things that are temporary, they're anxiety producing. And it doesn't work just to get more things, then your anxiety will diminish. That's foolishness. But that's the material, that's Maya. I just need more stuff. And then I'll be happy. But that's not the way it works. There's this abundant body of literature from researchers, especially since World War II, when the economy boom took off by design, wasn't by accident, and prosperity, like anything, increased. So scholars did research papers, because that's how they make their living, on are people happier? And in short, many studies. People that have, because the notion is, if you have more, and you have more choices, then that increase of choices means you can choose things that are going to make you happy. But to have more choices, you need more economic capacity. So more capacity, economic capacity, choices means more happiness. Studies show that's not the case. It's either, at least subjectively, people report the same or down. They're less happy, without going into all the what the researchers say. Depression, addiction, suicide, drug overdose, death from drug overdose, accidental drug overdose, and all kinds of horrific statistics show the position of affluence doesn't mean greater happiness. But that doesn't stop people from searching for affluence, because the notion, the buzz, is, well, I know I'm not happy now, so I need more, then I'll be happy. But more doesn't equal happy. So spiritual progress is different than more. That's the path of pravritti is more, and the path of nivritti is the path of progressively, on the one hand, decreasing involvement in matter and increasing involvement in spirit. So in the trajectory of the course of a whole life, material involvement in family life, you're all householders, so you have a very clear idea. There's complication that you didn't have when you were younger. It's one of the encouragements of young people to, you're doing your studies, don't forget while you're doing your studies to develop Krishna consciousness, because it doesn't get easier, it gets more complicated. More responsibility, more whatever you want to call it, burden, more complex, more demands on your time by people and things. And so ideal is that Krishna consciousness, shelter in Krishna, is cultivated from childhood. That's in Prahlad's teachings also. Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatan iha. From the Kumara age, from the very beginning, early stages of life, devotional service, shelter, the Supreme Personality of God, it is advised to be cultivated. And if that advice is adhered to, then grihastha life becomes not a blind well, but a safe boat across the river. And then when you're on the other side of the river, when grihastha life is, duties are completed, then the stage of vanaprastha, decreasing whatever it has been, material involvement, and increasing spiritual activity. So that's what's being described here, and with reference to Prahlad. So there are these two, I'll just say the phrases again, because Prabhupada quotes them again and again. Hitvatma patam griham andakupam. And sada samudvigna dhyam. Dhyam is meditation. And those who are materially attached to the body and the conception of the body and all things that come from the body, fruits of family, home, and stuff that goes in the home, and the person speaking of is Hiranyakashipu. He's literally on top of the universe. He's taken over the post of King of Heaven, pushed Indra out, and sitting in Indra's seat. So although he has so much, he's in anxiety. He's denying the anxiety by his macho-ness, but he's in anxiety. It's a bluff. And sure enough, all of those things that are supposed to be sources of happiness in the flesh, they're taken. Poof. Like a dream. Poof. Or like a sandcastle. In comes the tide. Poof. There goes the sandcastle. Just like a dream. The happiness of material prosperity is insubstantial and temporary. And all the while there's this pervasive unrest or unhappiness, discontentment. I mean, when someone tries to cover that up with something, get more, then you'll be happy. Yeah, I have to get more. Or mix the things this way instead of that way, then I'll be happy. And forever making adjustments to reach the stage of happiness that falls right through your fingers. Because, in contrast, real happiness isn't temporary. Real happiness is same as the soul. Real happiness is eternal, that's ever increasing. That's what real happiness is. So the experience of that real happiness is elusive. So he's showing, Kardama Muni is showing by example, and Maitreya is explaining that example that he's setting. Any discussion? You get some service every morning. Vaishnava Seva. Yeah?
Maharaj, two questions. Regarding Vanaprastha life, is there a specific age?
Yes. You know. In his purports, or in his classes, 50.
Is it gender specific, or is it for men and women?
No, it's both. Now, how can both take part? There's different ways, but it's for both. There's different models, but it's for both.
Is it that after one of the life, one has to be pregnant?
It's standard. But, you know, ISKCON has its bars. To take sannyas, there has to be da-da-da-da. There has to be a portfolio of preaching, because in ISKCON, sannyas is for that purpose. So that one must demonstrate a propensity, and there's a field for preaching, so that when one takes sannyas, it's an asset for the individual as well as for the society. And there's other, in writing, blessings or permission from the wife, so that the wife doesn't get, you know, tossed to the side. So protection for the woman, and she's happy and contented with whatever that means. Her needs will be looked after, and whatever else is important to her. So that's the model. It is yes, but not mandatory. There's other considerations as well. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's a number of things, those two, and practically speaking, it's not something to be entertained until dependents are, using the phrase that's used by Indian devotees, settled. Whatever all that, you know what that means. So when they're settled, then something like that can be contemplated. And until then, it would be inappropriate. So, in other words, family duties have not yet been completed. So when family duties are completed... Well, yes. When children are with their own means of maintenance, and their marriage situation, or whatever it is, they may become a full-time brahmachari or something or other, but when their next stage of life is fixed and is secure, and it's not, then there's the next generation, the grandchildren generation. So one may, it's common in our modern time for sure, it's one of the delights of parents of children to hang out with grandchildren. It's yummy. And the parents are very appreciative of that help that comes from their parents to deal with their parents' grandchildren or their own little children. It's very helpful, and it's natural. So, yes, family duties can be completed, can be understood to be completed when one's dependents are settled. Now, it doesn't mean one can't come back and assist, but it's there's with family life, there's a certain set of comforts. Without naming them. Relations, stuff, property, and leave that behind. It's not something abrupt. It doesn't have to be something abrupt. Again, there, as I said, there's different models. Husband and wife can go together to places of pilgrimage. Husband and wife can take up some full-time serving the devotees and serving the deities and serving the institution and full-time without attention to the temporary things that their lives were made up of previously. Or, and there's different models. The wife stays at home for some period of time where the husband goes and travels with the sannyasi and then comes back after some time and is again with the wife. And then again, so there's different models. But the direction, your question is when do I know I'm ready? It's when duties are completed. Now with models that are appropriate or comfortable for, you know, the situation, move in the direction of diminishing and detachment from, as a result of diminishing, involvement in family affairs and the conveniences, comforts, I'll give an example. Something that I've noticed for 20 years. Look around the room and see how many people from Indian origin you see. It's everybody except me. So, when parents find out their children are practicing Krishna consciousness in America, some are really, enlivened and some are concerned. Whoa, you may, become a fanatic and leave your duties and etc. But it's hard for them to practice, even if they're like favorable, it's hard because they're in this environment, it's their social network and all the obligations and stuff. But if they come and spend some time out of that space with their children to be with the grandchildren or whatever the thing is and see the lifestyle that their children, their son or daughter and whatever it is, son-in-law, daughter-in-law and whatever, it's a nice lifestyle and have nice friends, and then they start to feel more inclined to practice themselves. And when then we go back, it's tough again because there's all those expectations and social obligations and stuff. You follow? So, vanaprastha means letting go of, intentionally, those comforts, the network of, things that occupy and keep one's life full. And, feeling the sense of contentment and satisfaction with things that are all going to be taken from you gradually or abruptly.
So, can I say to Vanaprastha being in the grahastha ashrama, being detached from the...
Well, an ideal grahastha already has that mood of detachment. An ideal grahastha already has that mood of detachment. But then it becomes more external. Like here. Kardama Muni is at the topmost stage of devotion. So he's showing by example. He's not attached. Even in family life, he's not attached. He's not attached. Not at all. So he could stay and be not attached. But he's showing by example. Well, take Prabhupada. He said on a number of occasions, I mean, he didn't make a big deal about it, but it wasn't easy. Look at his stature. It wasn't easy to leave home, his wife and children, go to Vrindavan. It wasn't easy. The attachment is strong. And he went, it wasn't sannyas, it was vanaprastha. But it's directional shift. If one wants to become absorbed in and fully attached to Krishna, it's even for a person of Prabhupada's stature an important step to take. So yes, one can stay. And I know a number of wonderful devotees that do that. Prabhupada disciples that are in their 60s and they haven't, you know, followed these procedures. So it's not shame on them. Lodge was filled with such people. And then there's devotees like Jayadvaita Swami that go there and blast them.
I have two questions, Maharaj. The first question is along the similar lines. I'm just trying to understand the difference between... because in the section we have discussed today, my understanding is that the husband, while taking vanaprastha, the husband and the wife, they separate and they go to the holy places.
No, they don't necessarily separate. They may go together to places of pilgrimage and increase their hearing and chanting and varieties of forms of service. Go together and do that. They may separate. They may do some of both. The models could look different.
Okay. Can you help me understand, Maharaj, what is the difference between, if a householder takes to vanaprastha, what is the difference between the vanaprastha and the sannyas life of a...
No contact.
Is it in sannyas that you're talking about, Maharaj?
Yes,
no,
yes,
problem.
Yes. Now here's an example. Modern example. Tamal Krishna Maharaj at one point got married. Mundri was his wife. And then at another point, Tamal Krishna Maharaj wanted to take sannyas. Prabhupada gave him sannyas. Same week that Radha Govinda were installed in Jaipur, Tamal Krishna Maharaj received sannyas. So he didn't directly interact with Madri, but he saw to it that her needs were met. And when he became GVC in Dallas, he saw to it that his disciples looked after her. He didn't directly interact with her, but her financial needs and her living needs and her social needs, these friends, etc., were looked after. Prabhupada did something like that. As a acharya, it's not well known fact, but he received some dakshin and he set some of that aside to look after his sons and his children. Modest. He did it for some other reasons. As far as I understand, he understood they were greedy and that they would, and sure enough they did. One of them made a lawsuit against ISKCON saying, I'm the eldest son and I should get the property of the father. It didn't work because Prabhupada had made a will. But, ISKCON is not the property of Prabhupada either. Anyway, he knew their mentality, but also he didn't have direct contact, but he was looking after. And he would do sometimes with devotees. his disciples, help your mother, and even give something to help their mother, because he's a cultured person. But the distinction specifically is no contact. Certainly no, physical and tactile contact, but in general, no contact. So having taken sannyas, one generally would not go to that place where one's wife is, because there may be contact. No. Tumal Krishnamurti, his base was Dallas, and he had Madri stay someplace remotely in Dallas. She was a very proper lady. She didn't come to the temple when he was there, but her needs were looked after. So, does that clarify?
And my second question is, Maharaj, you mentioned about how choices leads to... The wrong concept of having more choices leads to more happiness. So my question is, whenever I'm looking for some material possessions, like gadgets or anything like that, car or cell phone, what are some of the things that I need to take into consideration? Because there is, I feel that, okay, this will give me more happiness. There are more choices available. Mm. So this will give me more happiness, but rather there is, I feel it would be right to ask myself the question.
The right question is, do I need this for my service to Krishna? Is a simpler version of this adequate for my service to Krishna? It's service to Krishna. That's the criterion. That's the question you need to ask.
Yes.
How is this going to be enhance or be in the service to Krishna? It's easy to trick the mind, or the mind to trick oneself, saying, oh, it's good for Krishna's service because. So, it's a deeper inside kind of question. Is that really the purpose? And that's the criterion that we use to accept something. Service to Krishna. Anasaktasya vishayan yataham upayunchitaha nibandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya uchite. You know the verse. Read the verse. That's the criterion. Yataham upayunchitaha, according to suitability. For service to Krishna. Anything else? Yeah?
Right, so for this Vanaprastha stage, what if one spouse is ready but the other one is not?
Say it again?
So for this Vanaprastha stage.
Yeah.
Transitioning from grahastha, if one spouse is
inclined and the other is not. Well, that's married life, isn't it? Whether it's what do we have for dinner tonight, or which car do we buy, or how many children should we have, or should we buy this house or that house, or. Yeah, it should be done that way. I mean, that's part of the joy of household life, is working out those differences. And this is one of them. And ideal is if it can be done in such a way that it's progressively mutually agreeable. And, it requires trust and communication and patience and all kinds of nice qualities. That's ideal. Now, having made all those efforts, if it gets to the point where there's just plain old unwillingness, then some tough decisions need to be made, either one way or the other way. Because in any relationship, not just husband-wife, in any relationship, there's always give and take. And it's not always, you know, take, or it's not always give. It's give and take. Otherwise, it's not a relationship. So that's to work things out so that there's mutual agreement. You know, that can take, again, there's different models of how that might look, but that's ideal. And then something may be needed to have some third party, another couple or somebody that he and she have regard for and trust, and, you know, to help them work it out. And whatever it is, not just this one topic. You have something, Father? No? Not yet. It's coming up. Okay. Yeah, it's not appropriate. Not appropriate. But it's good if, you know, within the family that there's some understanding. This is a stage that Scripture says, Prabhupada underscores so many times. It's a stage that, as a family, we're going to need to move in that direction at some time. And, you know, I don't have a clear idea what it will look like, but, you know, it's something that's going to happen. There's different models, and we'll think about it, and we'll discuss it together. And it's a family consideration. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.